B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Kutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bagel Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest. Oh!
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It is the Bankroll Boys, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Lifshatz, Joe Murray. They're brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings right now. Use the code SportsHub during sign up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. How are things, gentlemen?
Things are good.
Yeah, had a nice weekend.
College basketball tournament week is here.
I saw that you guys have actually, well, I mean, I follow you both on Twitter, and you're very honest about, you know, what you hit and what you don't hit. Looks like you had a good week, right?
Well, last Thursday wasn't the greatest in terms of, because you said Michigan State was going to get killed by Ohio State.
That didn't happen. And I took the over in the Iowa game.
And then the Nebraska.
They covered.
They did cover. Oh, congratulations.
There you go. They covered by one and a half points.
But yeah.
What was the spread on that game?
Did I win that? Did I win that one?
I think no.
I didn't. Okay. All right.
You did not take Nebraska. You ended up taking, I think, Sparty.
Or no.
Michigan won, but it didn't go over the total. But Big Ten, dude, if you want to really gamble, like, I mean really gamble, you don't know which side's it's the Big Ten, man. Like, Michigan State beats, Iowa or Ohio State, and then they lose to
Maryland,
Minnesota, whoever it is.
They lost to Maryland, and then it turned around and beat Indiana. So, and they got to play Michigan tonight.
And then Illinois without the best player maybe in the country.
Smokes Michigan.
I mean, that was bad. Yeah.
It's a gamble, but things are good right now. Like, you know, we're not heated about the Celtics anymore. I think for a week, right? Kemba Walker's played better.
I think Danny Ainge is going to have a more pleasant phone call today at 9 o'clock.
Isn't it funny? I don't know. A week ago, like, people were talking for, you know, Brad Stevens and Ainge's job, and this week it's supposed retirement possible for Ainge. I know you guys have talked about it, but
that was weird. Yeah, that kind of just got thrown out there that Danny Ainge was looking to retire, or not looking to, but that he may retire. And I mean, I don't know. They're like, you know, he is 61. Like, 61's not that old. There's a lot of older executives in sports. I don't think you put him out to pasture.
Yeah, I mean,
60.
They're guys that coached at Florida State until they were 78 years old, right? All right, yeah. So I do want to talk about this. Massachusetts, we look at other states that have legalized sports gambling, and the amount of revenue they brought in is just ridiculous. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars. And because I was in Florida, and I was under the assumption that you could gamble legally in Florida. You can't. And I asked, actually, my wife, because I didn't have my phone, asked Rich for his DraftKings code there. Mm-hmm. And but you couldn't do it. But it got me excited for the possibility of that happening. What is going where? How close are we in Massachusetts to getting legalized gambling?
I'll just bring it up this week. Our buddy Josh from VSiN, he mentions that.
What is VSiN? I'm sorry.
Vegas Sports Information Network.
It's Brett Musburger's thing. Right?
Yep.
Yes. Uh-oh. Okay.
And Massachusetts is weighing 14 different bills. Betting could be legalized by July or August. The first legal bets could be for Patriots season. The one thing about this is I don't think it's going to happen. If I was going to bet on it, it doesn't happen.
Same.
The one thing, though, that they won't allow you to bet on college sports, which I think is just, I don't know, in this area, I feel like it's a mistake.
Well, because people are so in tune with what's going on in college sports in this area, it would really bastardize everything that's going on.
One of the worst college sports towns in the country.
Yeah, no one would care.
Boston is the worst.
I mean, anyone who bets is going to care. It's a gargantuan part of betting.
No, I care. My point is how ridiculous it is that they wouldn't allow you to do it because no one cares.
Yeah.
And so, but here, you know how in Texas that they had all the power outages and they couldn't control everything and the government failed them? So then the governor goes, hey, everything's open now, no masks. Everyone forget that I screwed everything up. So my thing would be like, You screwed up a bunch of stuff with schools and everything. Legalized gambling is a little distraction here. To make up for that.
Yeah,
give the people a little bone.
The other thing, too, is that they might start feeling the squeeze because you take a look at, not feeling the squeeze, but at least getting jealous of how much money is coming in Connecticut. Because now Mohegan Sun just got approved for sports gambling, correct?
That happened last week, so Tuesday. So that's going to be huge.
Yeah,
right? Massive. You can go to Mohegan. I think Foxwoods will probably pass the bill at some point. But, like, that's going to be huge where literally Massachusetts is the only state that you can't gamble in. We could go 30 minutes, get a roast beef up the road in Nashua or in Salem, or we could go to, you know, Rhode Island in, 25 minutes and go to Connecticut. You could bet wherever you want, but you can't do it in your own state. I don't want to freak out about this, but they're missing so much opportunity.
So my favorite story is that from what I've been told, you know, the Encore over there in Everett, that there's the sports bar that's upstairs that's right across from the nightclub. I forget, it's called like the something burger bar, the Encore bar or something like that. But apparently it's built ready to go that the moment sports gambling is approved, I guess those giant monitors immediately turn to those betting monitors. They built it knowing that at a moment's notice, or a week's notice, that gambling could be legalized, sports gambling. So they made it in mind so they could just basically press a button and it's ready to go to take bets.
Again, the one thing that's crazy is that they have these like suggested amounts that could come in. And it doesn't include, like, the offshore, you know, bookie stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I swear to you, if Massachusetts became legal, people would still bet offshore, bet with their book. But there'd be a lot more people at the Encore. There'd be a lot more people at events. I think it's time. I don't know what everyone's holding back from. I know Zoe Beadle had a senator on this week who basically said he doesn't watch sports and they won't have college sports. But at some point, this thing has to come down the pipe. It's been approved and put forward. It's just no one has been able to give the blessing to go forward here. And I don't know. I mean, Connecticut just did it, so hopefully it moves the needle a little bit.
It's like people are doing it. Why not make money off of it? Why not? I mean, it could help the state out. I don't understand.
Well,
why.
Because you have to be a parent. The government has to be a parent to the people. They have to tell them what they can and cannot do in terms of, you know, how they want to spend their money.
Just the one thing on that, it's just funny how they mentioned maybe Patriot season one. I do think that the NFL and sports betting, I don't know, I feel like things are really tied around NFL, not so much around everything else. And that seems to be, I know Dan Lifshatz's thoughts are maybe there's a side that needs to be greased in order for this thing to go through.
We've talked about it on the podcast. People have reached out to me from the Charlie Baker side who said the reason that it's not being passed through is because privately he's telling everyone he will not pass it because he wants to personally pass something from his agenda first. I'm not going to talk about what his agenda is because I don't really know the full detail of it, but I've been told by multiple people who have worked with this team, that's the reason we are where we are, is that publicly he's saying all the right things, but privately behind, you know, closed doors, none of that's true. None of it.
And he wants to pass something that has nothing to do with gambling?
Correct. He has an own personal agenda. It's a political trade-off. He wants something in return for passing this. So he wants, you know, something politically. He wants support from the people who are, you know, supporting this, you know, the pro gambling stuff, and he wants, you know, support privately, and no one's doing that. No one's backing him apparently on what he wants, which again, I don't know the specific details of what he wants, but
like the Shawshank with the pie, you know, my wife made you this pie. Why don't you take this money? You know, one of those deals there.
Mm-hmm. So I've been,
you know, I don't
very,
remember
very
the pie
critical.
Scene from Shawshank Redemption.
Neither do I.
I remember a lot of it.
It's like, oh, man, you know.
I remember the sweet sodomy scene.
You know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right,
Wally? Yes.
Yeah, remember? He's like, he goes up to the warden. He goes, hey, my wife made you this pie, man. You can't be working on my road. You know, it's really going to mess up my stuff.
Extra money in the pie.
Okay.
In the box where the pie was.
I think I faintly remember that, yes.
Joe, I got you. I'm with you. I understand.
Yeah, I got too caught up in the sodomy scene. When there was for sodomy is when I said, woof.
Well, all right, Shawshank Redemption, you went there.
Stephen King's got a new book out, by the way. He just keeps churning them out. He can't be stopped. All right, well, we will come back, and we can talk about if you guys are going to be gambling this weekend on the NBA as they go into the All-Star break.
And Rich also wanted to talk about the Russell Wilson odds, if you guys can get that together for you.
Yep.
And we will have that all for you coming up in just a moment as we continue with the Bankroll Boys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Bankroll Boys. Dan Livshatz, Joe Murray in studio. And DraftKings brings that to us. All right, so the let's get to what Rich had. Rich, you have a question about Russell Wilson.
Yeah, so there was a story that came out. Michael Silver was saying that this is worse than anyone had thought. And it sounds like Russell Wilson is not budging. And he wants out and that this can't be fixed. I keep hearing more and more that it just looks obvious that it's going to be the Raiders. I don't know if that's the case, but what is Vegas saying about where Russell Wilson is going to end up?
Yeah, so a couple of days ago, probably about a week ago, PointsBet was the first one to come out with the odds on Wilson. And it had Seattle, you know, him to stay in Seattle, minus 2,500. So essentially they were telling you they thought he was going to go there. They had Vegas at plus 400, which is pretty common to have, like, this massive favorite. And then if you have some of your favorite destinations at a much lower price, and it seems unfair considering the favorite's minus 2,500, but you know, it is what it is. So they, Vegas is the second favorite. A few days ago, DraftKings came out with odds on this as well. And they moved Wilson from 2,500 to -1,000. The Raiders are still 4-1.
Okay.
Followed by that, the Cowboys 6-1, the Saints 7-1, and the Bears 8-1.
So Vegas Patriots 3,300 on there, by the way.
Oh, well, then how about that? So Vegas thinks, now they have obviously over the last week thought that there's less of a chance that he would stay, but it's still pretty significant how much they believe he's going to play with Seattle.
I don't think he's moving just the cap space. Like, they have to take a huge cap hit if they move him. It's like a ridiculous cap. It's like 30-something.
Yeah.
Dead cap.
39
million. That's maybe.
39.
It's going to be incredibly hard to move him in this climate without basically being the worst team in the league. Now, I mean, I guess if you're going to move Russell Wilson, you're getting all these picks, you're going to suck. That's going to be great. You might end up getting, you know, an elite number one pick next year. And we've talked about the quarterback draft, you know, for next year on the show. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some good options. Like, there's going to be some real good options. So.
Well, it's funny. I know Fred, has been very vocal about his thoughts on Wilson, but Wilson, I don't know if he's talking his way out of a town. Like, Deshaun Watson wants out, right? And right now, because he signed that deal, they can make a move before the real season starts. They don't have to take a big cap hit. So, like, as far as football players saying they want to play here or go there, like, Deshaun Watson's really the only guy who can do it. I think Wilson's doing this because he wants help, right? I mean, at this point, it's like, get him an offensive line, maybe get a real running back.
See, I thought that at first, but now all these reports are coming out that it's gone too far.
Yeah,
now
he's gotten too deep.
Yep.
Yeah,
but I feel like he's bigger than the team. He's bigger than the team there, if you ask me.
Oh, no.
He is bigger than the Seahawks. No. Yes. What do they have? What do the Seahawks?
DK Metcalf.
Okay, DK. Who throws the DK Metcalf? It's Russell Wilson.
I understand that, but I mean, it's a great organization with a great coach and
a great owner.
Russell Wilson has thrown to nobody for years and has brought them to the playoffs. We just watched it with Tom Brady here. Russell Wilson's bigger than the Seahawks.
The team rallies around Tom Brady. Tom Brady would take less money to bring people in. Tom Brady was an institution that set a tone. Russell Wilson has none of that. None of that.
He's done nothing around him. I'm telling you right now.
Are they going to take a hit if he leaves? Absolutely. But to say that in the power struggle, Russell Wilson wins, there aren't many quarterbacks in this league where the quarterback wins.
Yeah, when you have $40 million of dead cap space, I think he's going to win.
Well, yeah, he's not going to get traded this year. It's next year that is the...
Yeah, I'd be careful if I'm them. I still think he's one of the... He's an elite quarterback in this league.
See, I agree with you
on
that.
No, he's an elite quarterback. He didn't play particularly well last year.
It sounds like. That's the issue, is that he's the one that is being... And I guess he's being such a dick about it that now the team's kind of like, all right, man. Well, now how are we? We're not going to be able to fix this.
He doesn't know what he wants. He got cute because he wanted to be in the news, and then it got away from him. Just because, again, I don't know how else to describe it, and some people might not know what I'm saying, but it's Ted Cruz jumping on something too late, you know, screwing it all up. That's exactly what Russell Wilson is.
Kind of jumping in college too. Like he was at NC State, was a star, threatened to go to the NFL. And somehow transferred, went to Wisconsin, and won a big team.
Don't discount the wife. Ooh, by the way, the wife plays a factor because she's a star, and she's in Seattle, dude. I mean, that place sucks if you're a big name. Like, nothing to do there.
She loves Dallas too. She said, "I love you" to him for the very first time in Dallas. They made a big deal out of that.
Yeah, it's good. He should move because. You know what? She would have married him if he was like a plumber and just followed her around everywhere she wanted to go. You know, he's making this money because he's in Seattle. So have fun.
But I do agree with your point, though, Fred. Like, you're like, hey, shut up. Like, you know, you can't do this. I think he's just it's a cry for help to make that team better.
Yeah, and then it got away from him. Because
he's done that behind the scenes.
Yep, it got away from him. I know I'm probably not articulating it well because I'm horrible at it. But I know exactly what he was trying to do, and I knew exactly how he was going to screw it up.
Hey, I'm important, too. I know you're saying Tom Brady's important, and I know you're saying that Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I'm important,
too. You just did it. You just did it. Yeah, like, wait a second. Deshaun Watson, everyone's talking about Deshaun Watson and how great he is and, like, how he should leave. Well, these guys are really good, and they're in the Super Bowl, and Deshaun Watson, everyone's happy about him leaving. I'm going to do it, too.
Me?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, he goes, whoops. Well, this ball's gotten rolling a little too far. I was playing chicken and hit the gas a little too hard.
Don't forget the coach is, like, wicked old, too. Like, he's not going to want to go through, like, a five-year rebuild with that team. So if you lose Wilson, you may as well lose Wilson.
Wilson's bigger than the Seahawks.
You give a guy a bunch of first-round picks, and he could make something happen quick. All right.
I want to get to this because the odds on the three-point contest are fascinating. That is the only thing from All-Star Weekend that I still enjoy watching.
I agree.
I mean, the slam dunk competition is a joke this year. Obi Toppin, Anthony Simmons, and Cassius Stanley.
Well, the game, the regular season NBA is a slam dunk contest. The kid from Minnesota, I would show Johnny, was unimpressed, but he had maybe the best in-game dunk I've seen in my life.
Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
He's not even in it. But the NBA now in the regular season, you see them play defense. It's a dunk contest now,
so who
cares?
The NBA understands that the dunk contest is an afterthought because it's at halftime of the damn game.
So anyway, Rich, it is the three-point contest, and there are stars in it.
There are legitimate stars in the three-point contest. Now, guys, go over the odds if you don't mind, because I've got an itch on this one, big itch.
I'll break it down real quick. The favorite is Steph Curry. +190, followed by Zach LaVine at 250, Donovan Mitchell of the Jazz, 350, Devin Booker, 500, and then Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum come in at +750. So they are the big underdogs in this.
Yeah, you see, I think Zach LaVine's got a great chance to win it. I mean, Steph Curry, the odds are perfect. Like, the way they're written out. But I don't know. Jason Tatum's not going to win it, but Jaylen Brown could get hot. And at +750, there's part of me that almost wants to put $50 on Jaylen and Jason just to see. You know, if you put $100 on the bottom of it there just to see what might happen. I might do that. Let's go $50 on both Jaylen and Jason Tatum.
Why are you smiling, Joe?
They're not going to win.
That's a bet he doesn't put in.
He's definitely saying, no, I don't think they have a prayer.
I don't either. But the plus 750 for being one of the six people you were chosen to be in the 3-point contest. Come on, that's worth spending money on.
Nobody else wanted to be in, so let the two Celtics.
I'd rather take Booker.
No one else wanted to be in the 3-point contest. That's not true. All these players want to be in the 3-point contest.
Ask Ray Allen about it.
Ray Allen hated it.
All right. Well, the slam dunk contest, I get not wanting to be in, but the 3-point contest, that's still an honor.
Steph Curry's like Larry Bird when he was in those things. Steph Curry's not going to get shook.
I don't think Steph Curry. All right, so
he's only won it once. Believe it or not,
it's kind of hard to take the square in this one.
Zach LaVine, I think, is going to win it.
No, yeah. LaVine is having
LaVine's
a big
43% from three.
That's right. He's averaging 28, 29 points. I mean, it's a huge
I don't think this is a good event for him, though.
He might care too much.
It's Booker, I'm telling you. Booker at 5-1.
He might put pressure.
Devin Booker is by far the best value.
And he doesn't need to jump.
Plus 500. He's having
probably one of the best seasons out of all of them. He's shooting the hell out of the ball. He was pissed about not making the All-Star team. And if there is a guy who wants to show up for an event, it's going to be him. None of these guys care. So maybe outside of LaVine.
Donovan Mitchell's not a great 3-point shooter. He's not. He's a great scorer. He's a point guard. But I just have a feeling that there's a horseshoe up the Jazz ass this year where I don't know. And he's got the good odds there. But he's not a great shooter. But he might be a guy who can get hot in something like this.
All right. Maybe I transfer the $50 I was going to put on Tatum to Devin Booker. I do 50 on Jalen and 50 on Booker. Right. That might be a better way to do it. Because Tatum's not having a good year. Tatum's not having a good year. I mean, he's a very good 3-point shooter career-wise. But this year, he hasn't been his normal self.
Well,
if you're going to put money
on Booker, then you got to increase your bet. I mean, if you're going to throw 50 on two huge dogs, I get it. But if you're going to go
to 250, that's not bad.
I mean, +500's a dog. Yeah, I mean,
he wins $200.
But it's someone who's in the conversation. I mean, Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum aren't going to win the thing. But I mean,
Jalen Brown, if he was someone else.
Yeah, if he switched bodies and minds with someone else.
Don't think this is a great event for Jalen Brown.
Why? Because he wants it.
But that's part of the problem. If they care that much, you start pressing, and then there you go.
I don't know. He's improved his shooting since coming into the NBA, but it wasn't his strong suit at Cal.
We'll do 50 on Booker, 50 on Jalen. Tatum's not going to win it.
The reason Jalen Brown's in it is because he backed into the he was the last guy in the All-Star game, so they were like, you're doing something. You get involved
in
something.
That's not true. You're not the last guy in the All-Star game.
Sure.
The media vote had him starting this year. Uh-huh. Not the last guy in the All-Star game.
Right.
It's like the Phil Kessel of the NBA.
He's the Phil
Kessel. We'll find out tonight. We'll find out tonight.
That's right.
We'll find out exactly what they think about him tonight when they draft this
thing. In the mock NBA All-Star draft I saw, Jalen Brown was going last.
Oh, was he really?
Yes. In the mock that I saw on ESPN. So.
All right, so you've got the skills challenge. I don't really care about that. Although it's better than the slam dunk contest. Luka Doncic favored, then Chris Paul. I don't know. Is that anything worth putting money on?
I don't know, man. I mean, Doncic is hurt. So I know he's the favorite, but
where did Doncic get hurt? I think he missed the last game for Dallas.
He missed the last game.
Did he? Okay.
Right. They're having the same sort of conversation.
I know Julius Randle +800.
This is his year, man. Come on. This is his year.
No.
Absolutely, this is his year.
We got to finish up. So is there a bet for Rich, or is this what we're doing, the 3-point
contest? Well, I don't know if you saw the Top Shot odds here. Over 250,000. That's an odd. You can actually bet on that at Bovada.
The single biggest Top Shot sale for 2021. Okay, so that LeBron one just got 200,000. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Over 250 does not sound that unattainable. I mean, but it would happen within the next like 3 weeks, though, because I think this is something that's going to fizzle out quick. Let's put 100 on the over on that. Sure, let's do it.
Dan, you go this week. I got nothing.
Oklahoma plays Texas tonight in a big, big college basketball game. I'm liking Oklahoma -2 if you want something. So there you go.
Ring the bell.
Ding, ding, ding. Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
We need to get that sound clip from Rocky IV.
Want to ring the bell? Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Well, listen, I am. I do want to, off air, I'm going to take the Cardinals making the playoffs because they're a dog to make the playoffs. Ooh. Also, I'm banging that over on wins for Cleveland. Oof. I like that. I'll tell you that. So, off air, I put a couple thousand on these things. I very much like those. That NL Central's terrible. All right, we'll be back. Thank you, Bankroll Boys.
Thank you
for coming on. We'll be back here with the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Thatcher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Funny, whenever I tell Joe how much money I want to gamble and on what I want to gamble and on, he always goes, ooh.
I don't know about that.
I will say this, Rich, when you were talking about betting, what was it, $50 on Jalen and Jason, yeah. A big smile came over Joe's face, like, yeah, I'll take your money.
Yeah, he was just like,
I'll take your cash. You want to give it to me? Sure.
Well, he screwed up one time because if he thinks you're going to lose and you're not gambling that much money, He'll just book it, allegedly. And Maz one time picked, was it Pierce that won the MVP in the World Series? Yeah. He's like, I think Pierce is going to win the MVP of the World Series. And Joe's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll take your money. And Pierce won the MVP of the World Series.
That's
and
right.
The odds were like astronomical.
So we got like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know how much Maz put on it. But if I'm betting like a thing that I'm confident on that's like a season long bet, mm-hmm. I'm betting $50 on it. Bet $1,000 on it. I mean, I believe in it.
What's the over under for St. Louis you were talking about?
It's not an over under. It's they're dogs to make the playoffs.
Oh, all right.
Not by a lot, but okay. I think 100 pays. Wow. It's like something like 7 to 10 odds or something like
now,
that.
Now you're behind Milwaukee after their big signing overnight.
Well, they have Colton Wong and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Somehow got $24 million out of Milwaukee overnight.
I told you he was going to get paid. These guys get paid.
That's an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
For Jackie Bradley.
But I'll tell you this: is that Cleveland lost Lindor, but Lindor played like crap last year. And so everyone always thinks Cleveland's going to suck, and they always win 90. I bet you they win 90 games, and I think the over-under is 79 or 80.
You know what? This sounds ridiculous because I actually haven't been paying attention. They're playing the same amount of games this year, right?
Yes,
like
yes,
a normal.
Yes.
Okay, it's a normal season.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, then I don't think that's too crazy of a bet there, Fred.
I'm extraordinarily confident on that. And then there's no – who's going to beat the Cardinals in the NL Central? I mean, no one's going to beat them. They have two borderline Hall of Famers at the corners of their infield.
Cubs aren't what they were 4 or 5 years ago.
You want to talk about a team that blew it. Oh, did that Cubs team blow it. That Cubs team had all that young talent. They had sacrificed all those seasons. And they had the pitching. They didn't miss on a prospect. That whole, remember Schwarber let's frame the home run ball, and that thing blew up. And Chris Bryant now is just some guy. And
they were talking about trading during the offseason. That guy Solero hit 40 home runs for Kansas City a couple of years ago. He was there.
Yep. I mean,
all that young pitching.
They just blew it. And now they're just hemorrhaging, and they got rid of Darvish, and they don't have Lester, and they the whole thing. I don't know how the Cardinals don't make the playoffs unless Goldschmidt or Arianna get hurt. I don't know how they don't make the playoffs.
By the way, speaking of the bankroll boys, so I saw something last night, and first of all, I don't even know how I came across it. It was actually on the internet, but apparently it aired on TV last night. Did you see that Shaquille O'Neal, for some weird reason, I thought this was a story from like 15 years ago. Shaquille O'Neal is like going into wrestling. And last night he made his debut on AEW. And you know how most of these guys, when they go in, and it's, you know, when most guys go into wrestling who are, you know, athletes, or
athletes, jabroni.
Yes, they are. And they do their little fake moves and their fake hits and things like that.
Why?
Shaquille O'Neal, whose body has been wrecked over these years.
Yeah.
He did something where he gets in the ring and whoever he was fighting like hits him in the face and stuns him, and Shaquille has his back up against the ropes. This guy comes running full speed at him, and Shaquille flies out of the ring and back first smashes a table. And I don't care who you are or if that thing's made out of balsa wood, that's a big ass fall for a big ass guy. Why would you put your body through that? First of all, much respect to Shaquille O'Neal.
The glory.
The bloody, violent glory.
Yeah.
Going 1,000,000% into this wrestling thing that he wants to be a part of. But why the hell would you do that if you're Shaquille O'Neal? You've got nothing left to prove.
Because it's the ultimate dream.
I guess
to go through
be.
A table and feel the pain.
There was an article that came out yesterday of the injuries that The Rock has suffered over the years, like starting from the, you know, when he played football all the way through now filming movies and of course during his wrestling thing. And it's just, I'm reading this, I'm like, he's going to have the most miserable life starting in about 5 years. Just everything is going to kill him. Like 4 knee surgeries, torn quadricep on his pelvis, torn abductor off his pelvis, triple hernia surgery, ruptured Achilles tendon, complete shoulder reconstruction, 3 low back disc herniations, and 2 low back disc ruptures. And and then you got Shaq, who's been through all the crap that we know about, just getting his ass kicked. So good on him. But I don't know why the hell you would do that if you're
him. Hacksaw Jim Duggan has artificial skeleton. They took all his bones out and replaced him with metal.
Oh, so he's bionic.
So he's like Wolverine. He's adamantium he's got on his bones.
Yes.
Okay, good. I appreciate that.
Wow.
10-4, good buddies.
I am looking forward to listening to the Beyond the Ropes podcast to hear what they say about Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, we might get to it. Whatevs. That's kind of like, you know, poser, but what? You know, maybe we'll get to it. I mean, Ravishing Rick Rude might have something to say about that.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
He was simply ravishing.
Sure.
He was a lady killer.
You know, I was thinking, someone makes a good point on
Literally.
Twitter about when you see these people come and like try to do wrestling, it's like Gronk. Like Gronk's was so weak. Like Gronk jumped off of the side of the ring and like knocked
Turnbuckle,
over 40
dumb,
people.
Dumb.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
He knocked over 40 people and it was like, wow. And they're all like feigning that they got, oh, and it's like, you know, the Laurel and Hardy. Like Shaq got his ass kicked. It still went. I mean, ended up winning, of course, because I'm sure he wouldn't have taken the gig otherwise. He's got to come out the champion.
Yeah, you got to get over. That's the term.
Is that the term? You got to get over.
Yeah.
To no kayfabe there.
Well, yeah, you got a kayfabe, babe.
Is that what you have to do?
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's, you used that word correctly.
Yeah,
you?
I use it correctly. Yeah.
Kayfabe is what, when you break character.
Yeah.
And, you don't break character. Something. All right. We will be back coming up at 9 o'clock. Danny Ainge, which, since they've won games now, will not be, I would assume, is negative.
Not as hostile. No, I wouldn't think so.
He wants to have a good time on the show. Maybe we show him a good time. You know, I got a series of knock-knock jokes.
You got some yucks ready to go?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a bunch of stuff. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Station.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Solak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Tomorrow I have to get an MRI on my shoulder, and I'm like Googling it. And this is one where they put you all the way in.
Oh, yeah. You have the tube.
So I want to be sedated. Ugh. And because it says on all these things, unless you're given a sedative, which to that I say, unless someone's offering you a sedative, you take the sedative. I've never understood that. Remember, well, remember there was the guy here that got a colonoscopy without any sedation?
No, I don't remember that, and that is awful.
Yeah.
Man, what?
Yeah, he got it. He was like, I'm not going to do the accent, but because it would give it away. But he was like, yeah, you know, I don't believe in that. I don't want to get the sedative, and he got a colonoscopy without one.
I'm not trying to be flippant. I didn't know that you could do that. Not that I didn't know that that was
Rod Stewart possible. Had to do it. If you read the Rod Stewart biography, he got off drugs and he was like, and he was talking about some of the bad things about not being able to take pain medicine, and he's gotten a colonoscopy without taking the medicine as well.
Oh my God.
Which is a whole other kind of like addiction. It's like if you just get knocked out and then your next instinct is like, I'm going to go out and like try to experience that again. Yeah, that's a severe drug addiction. I've been sedated since I quit drinking, and no desire to go. I didn't go like go find me some ketamine and fentanyl. I want to go relive that experience. But if they're going to put me in a tube for a half an hour to 2 hours, I mean, yeah, I want to be sedated. So my question is, do you call the people and go like, I want you to sedate me? I guess it's not gonna work.
They're not going to give you something that's strong enough to work right then. If they're going to give you something,
no.
It would be something that would take like an hour to kick,
yeah,
you know,
sure enough.
But,
so what I would do is I guess I would have to call them and say like prescribe me something, and I'd pick it up and I'd take it, and then I'd have to maybe have someone drive me there, which is no problem. But yeah, I mean, like, of course I want to be sedated. If they give you the option of not, like, what do you unless you're like, you know, Rod Stewart, like drug addict, like super drug addict. Why would I possibly, if you could make the experience more pleasant for me, why would I not do that?
But you're saying that they haven't given you that option.
Well, no, but it didn't come up. Like when I got the dental surgery that was 2 hours long, I had to ask for it. They didn't.
Fred, there's got to be, because I guarantee you are totally not the only one.
Oh, no, I know I'm not. I just told you, I'm reading it, and they're saying there's like an option for sedation, and I'm like, oh, well, of course I want to be sedated.
Yeah,
that's the thing about the dentist is that it was a 2 hour procedure, and then I saw they had all these like EKG machines and stuff, and I'm like, wait a second, so this is going to take 2 hours? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, don't you sedate people? And they're like, oh, yeah, you want to be sedated? We can sedate you. And I'm like, yeah, I want to be sedated. And then I got to go back later this month and get the tooth put in, but there's a bunch of, they're carving out part of my sinus. You know, my nose has been broken 85 times. So they're carving out part of my sinus, and they're like, I take it you want to be sedated again? Of course I want to be sedated again. Now, for the MRI, you know, I don't need to be put under, but yeah, if you're going to give me a Xanax or an Ativan and it makes the experience more comfortable, I don't get why you wouldn't do it.
They give you the little squeeze ball, the panic ball when you go in there that you keep in your hand.
Yeah, anytime there's a panic ball,
that's right.
Just sedate me, and I'll never use the panic ball. It will make all our lives easier. And if I worked at the MRI place, I'd want everyone sedated. My mom worked for a periodontist. And his whole thing was, like, I want everyone drugged Because people are so afraid of the dentist that he would give them... I told you this guy was like from the future. This was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or not 20 years ago. And he would add virtual reality glasses, and he had Xanax drips mm-hmm. and everything under the sun. And his whole thing was, of course, I want everyone to be sedated. Why mm-hmm. would I want someone bitching and moving around? And, you know, sedate them.
So, and the thing is, too, is that, you know, in those MRI machines, if you move around too much, they got to do it all over again.
Yeah, I'm going to call my wife and I'm going to be like, can you call the place and have them prescribe me something? Because like to be sedated.
I just still can't get over the fact that you said someone that we know had a colonoscopy without any kind of sedation. Like, that's insane. Like, I didn't know that. How can you do that and not be screaming?
I don't know.
You know how far into you that thing goes?
Very far.
How did he do that?
I don't know, but he was super proud of it. Because I woke up at the end of mine, but you're still drugged, you know.
You're drugged more than you think you are. Judging by what people were saying about how I was acting.
Yeah, because I woke up during it. Well, during my dental procedure, I kept asking if I could put on my headphones. Apparently, that was my big thing. Is I asked if I could put on my headphones, but. Again, I don't know one good reason. I guess at the dentist, because it's kind of expensive to get sedated, that might be prohibitive for some people. They just feel, well, I don't want to spend the money. But to me, that's what money's for, is convenience and comfort. I mean, that's exactly what it's for. So I just don't get it. I don't get why they wouldn't make it more apparent that you could do that, and also why they wouldn't want you to do it, and why anyone would turn it down.
Oh, of course they would. Yeah. They're gonna offer. I mean, just give them a call. That might be the only thing you need to do. As you said, pick up something on the way there so it kicks in by the time you arrive. I guarantee you, Fred, probably one out of every four person who gets in that MRI has massive anxiety about doing it and has to have some sort of help. So I might even be underestimating that amount. The only reason I can do it fine is, you guys know me, I can sleep anywhere. So I go in there and I fall asleep as soon as I lie down. Jealous. I'm out.
So jealous.
And they wake me up when it's done. Even with that loud noise, it's kind of
soothing.
Sounds
like jackhammers all around you when you go through that. I don't know how you sleep through that.
Honest to God, it sounds like
massive construction.
He is natural, like Xanax that just goes into his brain. It's like the dopamine in his brain just goes.
Yeah, I don't get it. That's insane. But as far as colonoscopies, that's the best medicine invented ever. I mean, when I got that, and I'm sure you did the same thing, you know, they put the thing in my arm and they said, okay, so you're going to go under for just a couple of minutes. All right, you're done. And it was it. It was like a wrinkle. Like, what? Wrinkle in time.
That was the dentist, too. And the dentist was even better because, remember, like, I haven't drank or anything for several months. Mm-hmm. A very long time, actually. And, they gave me gas beforehand, and usually gas did nothing. But I was like, I actually got concerned because I'm like, wow, I'm effed up on this gas. I'm like, oh boy. And I'm like, I don't want to say anything because then I got all paranoid that I was going to start saying stuff. And the next thing you know, they were waking me up and they're like, can you walk to this thing? And I'm like, yeah, I can walk. And they're like, you went to work the next day? They're like, I can't believe you went to work the next day.
Well, after my colonoscopy, I was done with it, and my wife was waiting for me, and I said, you know what, that's fine. I can just walk home. She goes, no, I'm going to drive you home. I'm like, well, why? Because I don't live too far from where the hospital is. And she's like, no, it's fine. And so the next day, I woke up, and I was talking to my wife, and I'm like, you know, I could have just walked home. She goes, do you realize what you were saying to all the doctors on the way out? And like in my mind, it's like that Simpsons. Hello, madame. You know, I was like, thank you for
How about getting out of that wet coat and into a dry martini?
She said, you were saying you are the best doctor of all the doctors who have ever doctored before. What else do you do? Because I want you to do all of it. Like, I was apparently just like, everyone was my best friend. I thought they were the greatest, and I wouldn't shut up, and they wanted me to leave.
Well, they just gave you, you know, drugs that you liked. Of course you wanted to see him again.
Yep.
They just had given you fentanyl. You were like, yeah. You were just like, let's do this every day. All right. We'll be back, Rich. What do we have coming?
Oh, we got a certain local bad boy, a renegade, on our hands, Fred.
I look forward to hearing it. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.